is here. What? What are you doing here on a mini episode?
You told me to come.
And a Monday.
That's true.
They don't know what day it is.
It's Monday when this comes out.
Oh.
It's also Monday when we're recording it. Crazy.
Sometimes.
Crazy town. Cassie's here really because we're going to talk about a band that I'm pretty sure she likes. I don't know. I associate them with you.
Yeah.
Kings of Leon.
I love them. Yeah.
Oh,
they're great.
Yeah. They have a new album coming out on May. How do you not know about this? May 17th? May 10th? Can We Please Have Fun is the album.
I did know that because the Mustang song came out.
Yes.
I did know this.
Yeah. So they've got some new stuff coming out. I wasn't aware that they almost broke up. I knew that I knew that their mom died.
That was a couple years ago.
Yeah.
Their mom?
So there's three brothers, and then there's
a cousin
in the band.
And they're, okay, I did not know that.
They grew up playing church music together.
Yikes. but yeah, there's three brothers and a cousin. So they all knew the mom, obviously, like they're all related. And she died, I want to say like
2019 or something.
Kind of during the pandemic, like around or before that. Yeah. So they had gone through a little bit of turmoil there and almost broke up. And now they're back together. But they've gone through this big traumatic event as a unit, as a family.
Yeah, as a family.
And as a band. Like, I'm pretty sure they had to cancel their tour. Because it happened kind of like in the middle, their mom's health took like a turn for the worst. And they were like, okay, sorry, we got to cancel these shows. We got to be with our family. And then when they were with her, she died.
Yeah. Welcome to the show, everybody. It's going to be a happy one. Is it?
Yeah,
after
they
that?
Got back together.
Well, they never broke up.
Well,
they might have.
They
were heading that direction.
Everybody basically broke up during the pandemic. Everybody went on hiatus.
Yeah. But yeah, so maybe it'll be better than how this episode is turning out to be, or starting out as.
Well, you're the intro.
Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Death by Music Podcast. I'm Jake. I'm here with Cassie and Alex.
Hi.
And it's going to be a positive episode.
Very positive.
Not when you force me to be.
I have a thing to say about Kings of Leon. We had a German exchange student when I was in high school, and she thought that they had to translate the name. So in Germany, at least her and potentially all other Germans thought that their name was actually the Lion Kings because they thought that they were supposed to translate Kings of Leon.
Oh.
I was like, no, that's just what it is. And
that's
she was like,
funny though.
Well, what does that even mean? And I was like, I don't know.
Ask them.
I don't know what a King of Leon is.
I don't know, Caleb.
But like Lion in German, I don't think is Leon. So like, what language are you translating it from?
Yeah.
I'm confused. This one's from loudersound.com by Jordan Bassett, and it was published a couple days ago for us, a couple weeks ago.
The title of it's called Your Band Cannot Stand You, You Have to Get Yourself Together, Inside the Tour That Almost Destroyed Kings of Leon. On their upcoming ninth album, Can We Please Have Fun?
Ninth? Wow.
Yeah. They had like six albums before Sex on Fire came out.
Jeez.
And all of them are great.
Again, singing about sex with your relatives is really fucking weird to me.
They weren't singing it to each other.
I was having a conversation about this with someone the other day, how I think Hailstorm is really weird because it's Lizzie Hale and her brother's like the lead guitarist or something in that band. Mm-hmm. And I swear every fucking song I hear from Hailstorm is her talking about how she likes to have sex. And I'm like, your brother's in that band.
Yeah.
It's weird. And you're like making him play right behind you while you're like, fucking tie me up, slap me in the face, and then fuck me.
He's just happy to be there playing guitar.
I don't know. Maybe he can't hear what her vocals are, like from where he's like, turn the monitor down
he's like,
on vocals,
I don't
please.
Hear. Turn up my guitar.
Less vocals, even less. Actually, just turn them all the way down in my ears.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyways.
Okay. So yeah, they Kings of Leon say they're more fulfilled than ever, but things weren't always so peachy for the Nashville clan. I hate when people use the term clan; it just has a negative connotation for it.
Yeah.
Yes. So from their early days, Kings of Leon brothers Caleb, Nathan, and Jared Followell, along with their cousin Matthew Followell, bore all the hallmarks of a classic rock and roll band. They emerged from the Nashville seemingly fully formed. With the old school riffs, the good looks, the retro fashion style of Almost Famous fictional rockers Stillwater, and an almost too cinematic to be true backstory, the brothers hailing from a fire and brimstone background, their father being a disgraced Pentecostal preacher.
Disgraced?
Yeah. What I think happened? He got kicked out. Well, maybe they'll go into
they found
it.
Out he was faking, so are they going to kick out all the rest of the Pentecostal preachers, too? Pentecostals, those are the ones that, like, do the snakes and the tongues and shit.
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe. Maybe he lost the snakes or something.
Oh, that's a fucking party
the
foul.
Snakes got out. Put them back
There's
in their bin.
There's a snake in my boots. You're fired, bitch.
After the release of their 2000 debut album, Young Youth...
2003.
What did I say?
2000. I don't know. You just read that whole line real fast.
Okay.
It's okay.
After the release of their 2003 debut album, Youth and Young Manhood, the good times rolled for the Kings. Britain fell particularly hard for their distinctive style, which sounded like the Allman Brothers getting pissed up in the kitchen at a Strokes house party, and it wasn't until the fourth record, Only by the Night, that they appeared to be anything... There appeared to be anything amiss. Okay, Only by the Night is the one that Sex on Fire is on. So there was only three albums before that. I was exaggerating.
Okay.
It's been reported that Caleb wrote some of the 2008 record under the influence of pain medication under a fracas. Fracas? Fracas? What does that mean? With Nathan. So a skirmish, perhaps, like pirates. And the album certainly seemed to explore darker territory than its predecessors. Take the gothic opening track Closer, which sees Caleb emerge from a fog of electrical beeps to announce himself stranded in the spooky town. It's weird to see it typed out like that, because I know how it sounds. The whole record is eerie and melancholic, which didn't stop it from shifting more than 6 million copies and thrusting them into European... What is that word?
Enormadomes?
Enormadomes?
Household name?
Okay.
I guess.
These doors were opened by Sex on Fire, the album's horny lead single, a huge radio hit that the group would later dismiss as a piece of shit, which would stroke interband tensions, family rivalries, and a descent into debauchery that threatened to destroy them completely.
That's funny. My boss also hates the song Sex on Fire.
It's fine. It's just not their best one. Their early album is great. There's a song called Taper Jean Girl that's just basically a drum and him screaming. It's cool.
Oh, all right.
Early warning signs arrived with the quartet's lackluster performance headlining Reading Festival in 2009 and a muted crowd response, which clearly irked the band. Quote, "I'm trying to hold back and not say anything negative, man," Caleb muttered ahead of playing Sex on Fire. Jeez. Quote, "I hope it warms up out here because we need it. We need you guys to help us do this, you know."
Oh, you can't acknowledge, I don't think, in the moment.
Well.
It's a little awkward.
Yikes.
That's like when I saw City in Color and he was yelling at everyone to put their phones away. It was really
Bruce,
weird.
Bruce Dickinson just yelled at somebody at an Iron Maiden concert because their vape exploded. And he was like, "I can't believe you guys are smoking." He hates smokers.
I'm sorry. Were people okay after the vape exploded? Like,
I guess. They weren't okay after the tongue lashing that they got from Bruce Dickinson.
Well, they probably deserved it. When the Reading crowd roared along in recognition of the band's best-known song, Caleb could be seen shaking his head in annoyance. After the show, Nathan tweeted, "Reading, what the fuck? Zero love for the Kings. I know it was cold, but holy shit, y'all were frozen."
Ooh.
Also, just like stop tweeting. I don't know.
Yeah.
The scrappy lads from Tennessee were beginning to look like entitled rock stars.
A little bit.
1 year on, talking to NME, Caleb acknowledged, "At the end of the day, it was probably our fault. Because of the success, I expected everyone to cheer for everything we did."
Yeah, but they only had that one song at the time. And you have to know that people at music festivals aren't, they're not coming to see you. No. They're coming to see everybody. Right. So they're not going to know every single song.
Like, you know what, my whole three albums before the one that made it big.
It's like when we saw... Mirrors at open
Stop!
Mic night, and they were like,
"Stop
thanks
it.
For coming to our show," and we were like, "We didn't know you were gonna be
this
here.
Is an open mic night.
Anybody can play.
Did you book this? I'm confused." Quote, "That was my Kurt Cobain moment when I was hating the success and I was scared that people were thinking that we did this on purpose. We made this record so that it could be big."
What, didn't you want it to be successful?
Hello.
That's weird.
I don't know. By the time Kings of Leon hit the road for muscular follow-up Come Around Sundown, the wheels were well and truly coming off. They'd always fought. The three of them were brothers, after all. There had always been debauchery, but success put perilous distance between them. They began to travel in separate cars and would only meet up an hour and a half before each show. These chasms between were soon filled with resentment and miscommunication, which wasn't helped by booze and steroid injections that keep Caleb's voice sounding suitably rough and raw.
What?
That's crazy.
Steroid injections to keep your voice raw? I just smoke a pack of cigarettes. Like, what? Why
just gargle hot sauce? What do you mean?
That's a good point. I didn't think about that. That would probably work.
I mean, acid, lemon.
Just do acid every day.
No. Lemons of any sort, like lemonade, like coffee would make you a little phlegmy, but it would work.
That's interesting. I wouldn't think that you would yearn for.
Are those prescription?
Certainly not.
Okay.
I mean, how do you get a prescription for steroids? I'd like to find out.
If you have inflammation.
Oh.
Don't they use...
This is not like roid rage.
It sounds like it's not making it better. It's making it raspy, which from a medical standpoint, I would think is worse because it means your shit's irritated. Right?
Yeah, that doesn't sound like it'd be good for your vocal cords as a singer.
In the band-approved documentary, Tallahena Sky, The Story of Kings of Leon, Nathan barks at the frontman... You get so fucking drunk and talk shit. Your band cannot stand you. You have to get yourself together. We have made you, you piece of shit. I have this DVD at my house. I haven't watched it yet. During this period, the band fought over the stupidest shit. Jared later admitted to NME. It would literally be over a seat at the bar. You're just looking for a reason to fight. Things didn't get much better in the most famous incident from the troubling era. The Kings abandoned a show in St. Louis, Missouri, because, as later Nathan tweeted, apparently without blushing, pigeons were shitting in Jared's mouth and it was too unsanitary to continue.
Mm.
True. This wasn't their fault, but the bizarre communication pointed to a serious lack of self-awareness in the Kings camp.
Birds were literally shitting in his mouth. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, they went on stage. I think they started playing. And it was just like a shit storm of birds.
So that actually happened.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm shocked that the sound, like just the speakers turning on, wouldn't make the birds like fly away.
I mean, they were far up enough, but like, I don't know what they had to eat, but it was not.
Bugs.
I mean.
What do birds eat?
I mean.
Pigeons eat anything, actually.
Yeah, like,
that's a good point.
Diarrheaing all over the stage.
I mean,
it's good luck if a bird shits on you, though.
Is it?
Imagine if it shits in your mouth. You're like, blessed.
So it was in Dallas, Texas that the Klan's issues came to a head. On July 29th, 2011, at the Gexa Energy Pavilion, Caleb rambled between songs and announced before what would have been the encore, quote, I'm going to go backstage for a second. I'm going to vomit. I'm going to drink a beer. I'm going to come back out and I'm going to play three more songs.
Wow.
He didn't return to the stage that night.
That's fucked up.
Leaving poor Jared to plead with the band crowd. I know you guys fucking hate us. Fucking hate Caleb. Don't hate us. The band officially attributed the incident to dehydration and the Texan heat. Though Jared later tweeted, I can't lie. There are problems in our band that are bigger than not drinking enough Gatorade. There are internal sicknesses and problems that have need to be addressed.
Jeez. Yeah, I think a lot of things would have been better if they just didn't put it online.
That's what I'm saying. Stop tweeting.
Just like don't tell people what's going on.
Take a note from Slipknot and just don't talk about it.
Right.
Yeah. So, wow, look at Cassie making good references.
Wow. So the tour had 2 months left to run but was canceled in the aftermath of Caleb's meltdown. The quartet reconvened in a Nashville steakhouse a few days later after the gig. The frontman later claimed that he didn't drink alcohol for 9 months in the wake of the meeting. Since then, the band have spoken candidly about the growing pains they experienced at the start of the last decade, as well as the work they've put in to nurture their relationships. Dallas changed the way we do things, Caleb revealed, adding, we understand that what we're doing is great and we're excited about it, but if you overwork yourself, you overwork yourself. It's clearly been effective in a statement that accompanied the announcement of the band's forthcoming album, Can We Please Have Fun, set for release on May 10th. Okay, there we go.
Yep.
Nathan stated, this is probably the best place we've ever been in band-wise. While Caleb reflected, when you have a band, there's a bond like no other. And when you have family, you have a bond like no other. We have both of those things. Kings of Leon's make or break point was now almost half their album discography ago. Since then, they've discovered their mojo, released the return to form single Mustang, and crucially learned to communicate without knocking lumps out of each other. We'll raise a Gatorade to that. Good for them. Yep. I've heard Mustang.
Huh?
I've heard Mustang. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
I think it's weird as a lead single, but okay.
They said that, well, this is also their, they're with a new label as well, and I think that they're getting more freedom to record the kind of music that they want to, because they all seem to really think this is like our album. This is finally what we wanted the band to sound like.
I will say,
like,
it sounds a lot like this, the sound, not lyrically, but sound wise, it's early Kings of Leon, which is cool, because that's what I like.
Yeah, I was reading something today on the Telegraph, but I can't access the article because it's behind a paywall, but they said that basically they felt like their mom dying obviously was really traumatic for them, but they said it felt kind of like a sacrifice to the band, and now that they're over this like really traumatic part of their life, they can take that hardest thing that's ever happened to them and use it as inspiration for this album. So I think that's also why they took all this and channeled it into real raw emotion after being like kind of a radio band.
Yeah. Like writing for the masses versus themselves.
Yeah. And especially it sounds like with what their label was expecting from them too.
Yeah.
They were not writing what they wanted, and now they're able to. Yeah. So how exciting. May 10th.
May 10th. Happy early birthday to me.
Oh, that's right. And Jake.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
Twins.
I hope a bird shits in your mouth.
It's good luck, remember?
It's good luck.
But it might be a little unsanitary. Don't get mad.
I don't know. They probably cleaned out all the bacteria with their intestines.
I don't know. Bird flu exists, so.
I don't think it's from people eating bird shit, though. I mean, I could be wrong.
You don't need to
it's
find
called
out.
The bird flu. Hello.
Right, and people got swine flu from eating pig shit.
No, you could just any part of the pig. If it's coming out of the bird that has the flu.
That makes a lot of sense. Okay, guys, thank you
I'm
for
not a doctor.
Listening. Really?
I love you.
Thanks for listening. Rest in peace.
Bye. Later.
Death by Music podcast is written and produced by Alex Motler, Cassie Gardner, and Jake.